Hello, and welcome to the Groovy Uncle podcast with me, Glenn Prangnell, where I take a look at the creative output of a most prolific bunch of musicians and artists, many of whom are based in or have connections with the Medway Towns. In each episode, I get to chat to friends old and new and find out what projects they've been involved with over the years and what they're doing now. So let's dive into a soup of groovy uncleness. Saskia Holling was born in Newcastle upon Tyne and grew up in the Isle of Lewis. In the early 1990s, she began dabbling with playing in bands such as Fudd and Sally Skull. And when it came to music, Saskia was fascinated by all things female. Spurred on by the Riot Girl movement, she started putting on gigs, writing fanzines, and discovering the Medway music scene, most significantly the girl groups The Head Coatees and the Delmonas. In her book Girlsville, Saskia tells the story of these bands, often labelled as Billy Childish projects, and finds out more about the women themselves and the records they made without record industry intervention, and what has happened to them all since. She lives in Scotland with husband, musical partner, and former milkshake Russ Wilkins.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I don't say,
come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting here for you.
I'm coming home now, real soon.
You've been gone.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
You don't know what I'm going through.
I'm coming home, I know I'm overdue.
Since you went away.
Saskia Holling, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. I've been looking forward to speaking to you about your book. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I actually finished the book last night. Really good book. So Girlsville, the story of the Delmonas and the Head Coatees.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly brought back a few memories for me, that's for sure.
Yes, and, I can imagine, because you would have been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of, certainly the Delmonas thing. I remember when they started, I used to go around, because Bruce only lives around the corner at the time from me. I remember hearing, in fact, I think I've still got a couple of cassette tapes of the Delmonas stuff with like the monitor mixes and with all the chatting in between. I've got that somewhere. I remember that and a lot of parties at Bruce's place around that time. Before we talk more about the book, let's talk a bit about you.
I was born in Newcastle upon Tyne. I did live in the Isle of Lewis.
Right.
My parents were art students in Newcastle and decided to go on a holiday to the Isle of Lewis when I was about 5 years old. And they went in the summer when the weather was very nice and the island looked beautiful, and they went to beaches and went for long, quiet walks and thought, wouldn't it be lovely to move here? Mm-hmm. And so when I was six, they packed everything up and we got in a car and moved up to the Isle of Lewis.
So it's quite idyllic then. You see a place, you love it. Right, let's move there.
Yes. Yeah, but then they'd gone in the summer. Hadn't experienced a winter in the Western Isles of Scotland.
So how did you connect with the Medway scene? Because, I mean, it's a bit of a long way from where you are.
Well, I connected to the Medway scene through Russell. I met Russell in the mid-90s. And through Russell, I seemed to meet everyone.
Yeah. Well, you would, yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
Who was involved in the music scene in Medway, yes. Although lots of people still don't like to call it a scene.
No, I mean, it's not. It's just a bunch of friends that happen to be in bands that get heard a lot around the world.
Yeah, and I guess by calling it a scene, it helps to make it accessible around the world.
So the book you've written, Girlsville, the story of the Delmonas and the Head Coatees, what inspired you to write it? I mean, was it because no one had really written about the women involved in the Medway music scene before?
That was it exactly. I'd read a couple of books about the Medway music scene, and because Russell had been involved in a few, and he had copies of the books. I'd read them and I was just thinking, there's not a lot of mention of the Delmonas or the Head Coatees in these books. And that's the story, as a woman in music, that's the story that I want to hear.
So when did you decide, well, I'm going to write this book? I mean, did it take a while to come to that decision?
Yeah, it must have been about five years ago, because I started the interviews shortly after that.
And was it easy to get the interviews, to get people talking? Were they all on board with it?
In principle, yes. Everybody said yes to being involved. And then it was just sort of finding the time that was suitable for me and suitable for everyone to meet. And for some people, like Holly, who lives in America, I had to wait for her to be coming over here.
There is a boy who lives next door. He has a father that I adore. I asked him for his daddy's name. He said, no way, missus, he's a wild man. He's a wild man. Listen, this is just the same. Come on, people, don't you really understand? He's a mean old Nazi, just a dirty, rotten, wild man.
I mean, although there's only six interviews, it took a couple of years to get all that organised.
The thing that struck me, see,
I always had a thing like that. Music journalists, here we go. when you're sort of in the 70s, I used to buy a lot of those music mags, music papers, because I was interested in what was going on. But I always had a bit of an issue with the writers. Mm-hmm. And the thing I picked up on was they were very sneering.
Yes.
And that wasn't just that wasn't even just during the punk thing. It was before that. They were always very, very, very sneering. I thought the narrative was driven by a certain type of journo. But the thing I didn't really pick up on, to my shame, was having read your book, is that dreadful misogyny. It's horrendous.
Yeah, I think there was that kind of attitude of trying to be clever, you know, always wiser than thou, was really prevalent in those early music magazines that I was looking at. And yeah, as soon as they talk about women in music, that attitude increases tenfold.
Whether they were unknown bands or whatever, or well-known bands, I mean, it was just horrendous.
Yes.
And the thing that they said about Susanna Hoff.
Oh, yeah, I think the Bangles got really, really ill-treated, as did the Go-Go's, any kind of major. And these people were major recording artists.
Yeah.
And who were being belittled.
How much of it is you think, well, that's how it was then, you know, just move on, never mind. It's not like that now. And how much do you think, no, it really needs to be, like, known? People need to know about this.
I do think it needs to be known, because it has helped to hide the history of women in music, because it's belittled the role of women in music. And as a result, it sort of has stopped the progression of women in music, because it doesn't exactly encourage or it didn't encourage women, young women, to get involved in something they were going to be potentially slated for doing.
But even within the circle of the head coats, head coatees, the Delmonas, the milkshakes, the language, even within that, there was, towards the women, the put-down.
Of the time, yes. Yeah. Language of the time.
And the head coatees and the Delmonas, that whole project, the whole concept was kind of very much Billy Childish's idea. And am I right in saying he was very much in charge?
I'm not sure. I just think that it was a group of guys who had worked together, like Mick and Bruce and Billy and Russ had worked together making music before working with Hillary and Louise and Sarah. And so they were used to working together and making things happen. And they probably saw the women in the joining them as a bit of a sideline who would do what they were doing, who would join in with what they were doing, basically, just because that's the way they worked.
Saving me. If she knew what was going on now, she would.
Was there ever much room for the women to come in with their own ideas for what they were doing, or was it very much driven by Billy?
I think initially it was driven by the Milkshakes as a band, when for the first album particularly. Maybe I think for Delmonas 5, when there was a change in the lineup. I mean, because Sarah wrote co-wrote one of the songs on that album with Billy. I think there was a bit more of a laid back, more band-like feel to the album and the recordings they did at that time.
It was good to see the Delmonas getting talked about again, because I always really liked the stuff they did. And I understand that some of their stuff was re-released earlier this year, or was it last year?
Yeah, I think it was last summer, because Hillary got some copies of it as well before she passed away, which was great, so that she could see all these things happening, the music getting rediscovered kind of thing.
So when did you first start getting into bands and music generally?
I mean, I've always been a fan of music, but I didn't really get to see live music as such, apart from sort of local cover bands and pubs and what have you. I didn't really get to see named bands until I moved away from the island to study in Edinburgh. And that's when I kind of went to gigs and things. And I just got into music at that point, but just purely as a spectator. I didn't have a music filter. I would go and see anything because I'd never, you know, I hadn't really been witness to live music prior to that. So it didn't matter who the band were, I would go and see them. There was all sorts of music going on at the time. I mean, one night I'd go and see the Cramps. The next I would go and see Simply Red. You know, I had no taste filter.
I think there's a danger of you can become too narrow. You know, you don't have to like something to be influenced by it, if you know what I mean.
And you can get something from every gig that you go to. There will be something in that gig. You might not like music, but there might be something about the performance that you get.
And who were your favourite female vocalists when you were young?
When I was young, I was a huge fan of Hazel O'Connor and Toya and Kate Bush. Just sort of things that I'd heard in the charts, and seen at the Top of the Pops. Big fan of Stevie Nicks as well, I have to admit.
And when did you join your first band?
That was sort of early 90s, about 93. And it was sort of very much when Riot Girl started my final push towards being in a band. You know, before that I'd been thinking, oh, I'd like to do that. Then when I saw other women getting up there and making a noise, I thought, well, I can do that. And then I kind of met some people who were also willing to just make a noise.
And what was that band called?
That band was called FUD, which is a sort of Glasgow term for a part of the female anatomy.
Fair enough. Yes. You can't say fairer than that. So is there any recordings of that band? Are there any stuff that you released?
I think there's a couple of cassette tapes of demos that we did just for our own interest to try and get gigs and things, that we made some cassette tapes to send to people. But after FUD, I was in a band called Sally Skull, an all-girl band in the 90s. I was in the band with a woman called Claire Scrivener at the time. And then we stopped in the late 90s.
She's made the day.
but we got back together sort of around 2015, and then we formed the Nettles, and that was a kind of garage punk band in Edinburgh, and we recorded an album together. Unfortunately, Claire died in 2020.
Wow.
But we managed to make an album together, which was she really wanted to do before.
Oh, that was good.
So that was, it was very good that we got that done together. It's a kind of musical legacy for her.
You're listening to the Groovy Uncle podcast.
Now, you're married to Russ Wilkins, who used to be in the Milkshakes and many other bands, and these days he's also your musical partner. And I've seen a few videos you've put on YouTube recently as part of this Mr. Unswitchable's virtual open mic night, which has been great fun. And you and Russ did a version of Tiger Feet by Mudd. The video is great, and the version is fantastic, and I think that should be released as a single.
That has been released.
Has it been released? Why did no one tell me?
Oh no, it's on released on a Spanish label, Folk Records, FOLC, which is Friends of Los Chicos Records.
I'll have to get that. That's great.
And I thought that was such a good fun thing to do during the dark times of lockdown, you know, and everyone could go along to the gig, as it were, you know, virtually. Everyone could join in. And it was just, you know, it was a good fun thing. I really enjoyed those. And thanks to Kev Younger for putting them on.
Yeah, there was a lot of positivity about that. I have to thank Kevin for putting that together, because I'm sure it was a lot of work for him as well. We got to see the inside of people's houses.
So, going back to the subject of your book, the Head Coatees and the Delmonas, do you have any sort of favourite tracks?
I'm quite partial to the sort of the Delmonas tracks with attitude, like Ludella Black or Black Ludella song, and I like their version of Woe Now. Yeah, the Head Coatees, there's so many to choose from.
And lie, but my heart's fired up and deep down inside. All my feelings denied, all my feelings denied. All the things I held dear are on the decline. If I really could, dear, I would apologize. All my feelings denied. All my feelings denied. I tried to express them, all my feelings inside. If I would, I would cry. But my heart's tied up and deep down inside. All my feelings denied. All my feelings denied.
Show you what a little love can do. Go now, dance right. Let's go back to your childhood.
Can I ask you, what is your earliest musical memory?
I was supposed to think about this, wasn't I? I think it's... I mean, my parents had a really good record collection, and one of the record collection, and one of the records they had was a Motown collection, and on that was War by Edwin Starr. Is it War? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. And I just remember hearing that, and yes,
so singing along to that. How old would you have been there?
Oh, I think probably about 7 or 8. But I also remember watching Bohemian Rhapsody on Top of the Pops. And I don't know how, I must have been younger for that, but just falling in love with Freddie Mercury at the time.
Seemed like forever that it was at number one.
I know. But when you were in love with Freddie Mercury, that didn't matter.
I wasn't, though. That's the problem. It seemed like forever.
Just me then.
Another thing you did back in the 90s was you started a fanzine, didn't you?
Yes, I started a fanzine about 93, 94. I can't remember the exact year, called Heavy Flow. And again, that was a Riot Girl inspired thing to do because I saw other people were doing it. And I'd been keeping a diary. I kept a diary for years prior to the fanzine, and I realised that a lot of the things I was writing about in my diary, kind of ranting about, were appearing in people's fanzines, you know, similar kind of themes.
Was the Riot Girl thing something you were aware of at the time, or was it something that you became aware of later?
No, I was aware of it at the time, definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that was another thing that was sneered at by those music journalists.
Yeah, it was. But it was at the same time it was happening. I mean, because I used to buy all the music papers as well for years and years and years. And it was used to be page after page of blokes and bands, and the occasional page with women in it, you know, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then. During those, it was a couple of years, 92, 93, where, nearly every page, it was just lots of women and bands, lots and lots of it. So it was page after page, and it was totally inspiring at the time. And then when Bikini Kill and Huggy Bear were going on tour, I mean, went to see them, and they were just going, pick up those instruments, make a noise, you know. And,
yeah,
it was inspiring.
Thank you.
tell me a little bit about the process of writing the book. Had you written anything before?
Not since I'd written the fanzines back in the 90s. So it was a case of just making up as I went along, doing interviewing, researching, then putting all those bits of information together into a timeline and then making it readable, really.
Did you have any idea on how you were going to get the book out into the world? I mean, Spin Out have published it, but did you know that at the beginning?
No, I had no idea if anyone would publish it. I did approach a few publishers, but nobody was interested. I don't think it's such a niche subject. But it didn't stop me. I just kept going. Because once you started something, you got to see it to the end.
Was the project much harder than you thought, or did it come pretty easy?
It wasn't easy, but it was challenging. You know, trying to make it readable was hard work, but I enjoyed it.
And while you were working on the book, did you kind of keep it to yourself, or did you show it to people to get an opinion?
I just showed it to a few people, but I kept it very much to myself just in case it didn't happen.
And what has the reaction been like from the people featured in the book? Do they approve?
Yeah, everyone seems very, very happy with it. The only person I haven't seen face to face since the book has been published is Billy. But I will probably meet him in Benidorm in October. So yeah. I will be interested to have a chat with him about it then.
Yeah. Were you quite nervous about that? You know, there it is, I've done it. Oh, now they're going to read it.
Yes. Yeah, I was very nervous. I really wanted all the Delmoners and head coaches to like it. And yeah, all the feedback was good. So I was mightily relieved.
So would you do it again? I mean, do you have any other writing projects on the horizon?
Yeah, I've got another couple of books in mind, one of which I've started, but again, I don't like talking about it until I know that it is really going to happen. You know,
is this still music stuff?
It is music related, yes.
You're not going to tell me anymore on that, though, are you?
I'm not, because I've started interviewing people for this next book.
This or that.
And now we come to this or that, sometimes known as one or t'other, where I just throw you a list of options. So here we go. Jimi Hendrix or Kurt Cobain?
Jimi Hendrix.
A long walk or a short run?
A long walk, definitely.
Album or single?
Ooh. That is a hard one, actually. That's too... An album, I'll say.
Sure?
No. Could be single.
It doesn't matter. There's no penalties or, you know, prizes or whatever.
It depends on the band, really, doesn't it?
That's true. It's a bit of a stupid question, really. I mean, I wouldn't know what to say. Wall-to-wall sunshine or snow as far as the eye can see?
Yeah, wall-to-wall sunshine.
Is it like that up there now? Because it is here.
Yes. Yeah, it's very nice.
Sand or pebbles?
Sand.
A day at the races or a night at the opera?
Neither.
Fair enough. I would have had the same answer. I don't know why I asked that. Digital or analog?
Analog every time.
I knew what you were going to say then. Okay, a wailing guitar or thumping bass?
Oh, thumping bass.
Going away or coming home?
Oh, both of those are very nice. Can't make a decision on that one.
Cats or dogs?
Neither. Goldfish.
That's a good answer. Train or plane?
Plane.
Do you say plane?
No, train.
Train. Like, it would have been muffled then. It could have been either.
Yeah.
Train.
Mm-hmm.
A music venue or a quiet pub?
Oh, a quiet pub with some music.
You do like the best of both worlds, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's me trying to not to make a decision. That's what it is.
Yeah. I'll be stumped on a few of those. Anyway, yeah, that's it. That was easy. So as far as music projects go, are you just working with Russ at the moment, or do you have any other musical projects on the go?
I've recently joined the Girl Fridays on guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With Debbie, mm-hmm. That's Debbie Sheringham.
Yeah, Debbie Sheringham, Suzanne McKenna on vocals, Liana drums.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. That's my crash course into guitar.
All right. So that's the guitar then is a new thing. That's
I have been playing a bit with Russell as a duo with us both playing guitar, but that's been quite straightforward because does most of the loud guitar and I just sort of support.
Yeah.
But with the Girl Fridays, it's very much lead guitar. We're going to record some new stuff at the end of October, but they have had an EP out as well. Yeah.
Ever feel the desire to scratch that itch? I've got a potion for that, and that's why they call me the Love Witch. And there's no doubt about that. I'm here to give women the every desire. So come on over here and let me light your fire. She's got a potion, she's got a lotion, sworn a concoction of the finest herbs. She's got a smell, she's got a style. In my bedroom laboratory in the suburbs, the Love Witch, steamy and fluffy, the Love Witch, shed it down and dirty, the Love Witch. Seducing you up with my magic elixir, I'm heaven above. She's got a potion, she's got a potion. I'm the queen of the loving scene, in my victory in a mixing up a dream. Please beware.
Can you just let anyone know listening where they can get hold of a copy of your book, Girlsville, The Story of the Delmonas and the Head Coatees, the Queens of the Medway Delta?
They can get hold of it if you Google Spin Out and Girlsville. You'll find it online. It's also available in the States via, I can't remember, but they can contact me via Facebook. There's a Girlsville Facebook page if anyone has any questions about particular country stocking. I can let them know.
Saskia Holling, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Glenn.
It's been great. Pleasure. I haven't been able to see you, but it's been great.
Maybe that's an advantage.
You've been listening to the Groovy Uncle podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to get hold of a copy of Girlsville, The Story of the Delmonas and the Head Coatees by Saskia Holling, go to spinoutproductions.com. In the meantime, stay cool, behave yourself, and I'll see you on the other side.